evening.
I guess the people that answered me in the morning didn't make it at night, so. Oh, is that on?
Oh, fella.
There we go, found it.
Walking mic is not on. There we go. Good evening.
Good evening.
There we go, thank you. I guess they didn't hear me the first time. I said that probably the people that answered me in the morning didn't come at night. That's why I didn't get any answers from you guys. But I guess the problem was not me. I'm not me. The mic. Mic. So just be on the right ground, I guess. Yes, if you weren't here this morning, maybe do a little touch up on what my mission. My name is Jamil Haddad. I was born and raised in Syria. Lived there for 19 years, and then came to the States in 2012. Went to Bible college here, went to West Coast Baptist College, and I finished my Bible college and master's in 2017. I've been on deputation for a year and 2 months, hopefully, prayerfully, going back to Syria to serve there with my father, who is a pastor in Homs there, Homs Baptist Church. I got to share a little bit today about what the Lord is doing. One testimony I really want to share this tonight is one of the cities that I told you that had the war in it. It was in our city. But 2-3 years after the war, the city gotten a little safer, but the war is still in different cities. So these people from different cities, their houses were destroyed. They were moving to cities which it was a little safer so they can live in. So, like, literally, sometimes they would leave everything and only the clothes on their body, and they would travel between places because how hard it is to travel and leave their homes. One of the people, his wife went to church in a different city. She got saved there. He wasn't saved. Then he was forced to get out, so he came to the city of Homs, where he stayed there for 3.5 years. When they came there, the lady found the church in Homs, so she came and visited the church. Then the church family, some of the church family, went back and visited their house. They talked to her husband, and he got saved. When he got saved, he started coming to church. He's, you know, faithfully and getting trained. And you don't have to know my dad a lot to understand that anybody really shows faithfulness, understands that, wants to actually do something for God, that he doesn't train them, doesn't try to help them, assist them. So that's what he did. He liked the ministry. He liked to be involved in it. So my dad tries training him, assisting him, pushing him forward to do things for the Lord. You know, in 3.5 years, you can't become, you know, the best preacher and the best pastor, but he became something, you know, after he got saved, he got trained, he became a person who can speak, preach the Bible, understand how to teach the Bible. Then his city started getting much safer, especially around the area he was at. So there was a church there, it was a little church of maybe 20, 30 people, that a person there was in charge of, but he wasn't the pastor. He was the one to provide all these needs of the people, but his job wasn't to pastor the church. So he asked my dad if he had someone to take over the church or help to assist the church. And interesting enough, we had someone from this city who already knew the people, already knew the culture. And my dad told him, you know what, if you think you want to be into ministry, this is the best place you can be at. It's your own house where you know your own people, you know your own culture. I know we speak the same language, but still some, you know, different neighborhoods have different rules, have different cultures. Same thing goes with different states, same thing goes with different cities. And that's what he did. He went back and he took over that church, actually, and now he's pastoring that church. That's just one of the stories of people who were trained in the ministry, who were forced to leave because of the war, but they got trained and they left again for a good purpose, left again to their houses to pastor the churches and to help at their hometowns. So I praise the Lord for stories like this, for people who are faithful, for people who are still standing for the Lord over there. I'm thankful for everybody that has tried to help Christians or even Muslim people from the Syrian place who are all over, scattered all over the place. People help them and assist them, and they gave them what they needed when they traveled and when they became refugees all over the place. If you're going to join me tonight, I'll be in the book of Psalms in chapter number 1. Psalms in chapter number 1. I heard that you guys are in Psalms. And Psalms chapter number 1 is preached too many times. So, we might not get tonight before 8:15. Hopefully we can get it before 8:15. And you might be laughing, but I'm telling you, this watch is 7:15 right now. So we're already over church, right, like 15 minutes ago. So, but 8:15, hopefully before 8:15, we need to get out of here. It's probably going to be a fast message tonight. And it's going to be not a deep study in Psalm 1, but it's more of a study that something I understood about Psalm number 1 that I would really like to share with you. So starting in verse number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." It's three different words here that talks about the blessed man that he's not shouldn't be involved in. Three different kind of people, three different groups. The ungodly. Ungodly means lives of self-obsession, lust, and pleasure. That's being ungodly. And then there's the sinners. A sinner is a person who transgresses against the divine law. There's the scornful. Scornful is he has the extreme contempt to make a mock of something or to make a mock of someone. And spiritually speaking, these are the people that make a mock of God or make a mock of the Bible or make a mock of what we believe. These three things are for a man to be away from to be blessed. He's called to bless it. But it's interesting the way he brings these to our attention. And some people put it this way. So blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's walking towards something. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners. Now he's standing in that place. So now he's giving more attention to things. It's a little hard to give attention to something while you're walking by it. More easier if you're actually standing and looking at it. At the end, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Person who is walking, then he stops to give more attention. Then he sits and enjoys what's happening and becomes a part of what's happening. This is just a steps of a person who is not blessed. Steps of a person who is falling into this world, who is really falling away from the godliness and falling away from what God wants him to do. It says, but his delight is a great pleasure. Without knowing to the next words, you might think his delight is, and I might ask you tonight, what is your delight in? And some of you might be extra spiritual to tell me my delight is in God's law. But most of you probably will just be honest, and my delight is in maybe eating this or doing that or having that. Delight is something that you enjoy. It's a great pleasure. You delight in something, you have a great pleasure in. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he, what's the next word? Meditate day and night. I fall short when it comes to this word, meditate. Especially in my daily Bible reading. Meditate just means think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time. If you want to enjoy something, you have to spend some time in it. For married couple, if you want to enjoy each other, you have to spend some time together to get to know each other. For you to for the kids to enjoy the little game, they can't just leave it wrapped, not knowing anything about it, or maybe just reading on the internet what it is. No, they have to open it, plug it in, maybe the TV, the computer, put it on the computer, get to know what it is, how it works, what things should I do, should things I shouldn't do. That's how they delight in it. That's how they become more familiar with what's happening. And to understand God's law, to be able to delight in God's law, we have to meditate on God's law. These two go together. You can't enjoy, you can't have a delight in God's law if you don't understand God's law. If you don't understand God's law, you're not meditating on it. You're not spending some time when you read it or hear preaching or anything. You're not spending time to focus or to think over what's happening or what God wants from your life. Sometimes we just have to meditate on who God is, what He did for us, and what He wants us to do. It's very hard to enjoy our Christian life if we don't know where we're at and where we're going. If I don't know where I'm going, I can't enjoy the road. If I don't know what's the next step, it doesn't mean that I'm not talking about God showing me the next step in my walk, but just me in my Christian walk. What is my next step of being a better Christian? If there's no road, if there's nothing happening, if there's no change, if I don't know the change happening in my life, if I'm not meditating on my life, if I'm not meditating on God and what He wants from me, it's going to be very hard for me to delight in what I do because I really don't know what I'm doing. And many Christians these days are the get saved only Christians. We have that in at Lancaster Baptist Church, in where I studied for college. You won't believe it, but they have over 10,000 people membership. How many people come to church? Barely 3 to 4. That's a lot of people. But compared to how many people are saved and member in the church, that's nothing. Why? Because people, they don't want to go the next step of spiritual life. They understand, I'm safe right now, I'm going to heaven, and that's about it. These people are not going to enjoy, they're not going to delight in God's law, because they're really not living according to what God wants them to do. And I don't know what's with the planting today. I guess everything I'm talking about is planting, because our next verse is planting. And verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree." Interesting picture. You have to picture this. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's not a trick question. It's a question from the Bible. Who did say in the Bible that he was prosperous in everything he did? Who is it? There's another guy. He was prosperous. Like the person he hired him, he saw that he was prosperous in everything. So he was giving him more things to do. And then he gave him charge of all his house. Joseph, thank you. Joseph was so prosperous in everything he did. Wouldn't you want to be that kind of Christian? Wouldn't you want to be the kind of Christian that is prosperous in everything we do and everything you do? I want to be that kind of Christian. But there's connection. Don't lose the connection. It's all connected to each other. All these verses are connected to each other. The light, the meditation. You're grounded. Where you're grounded, at the end of that, everything you're going to be prosperous. You have to make sure of these words. The road you're going in is prosperous. It's not whatever you do is prosperous. The road that God is choosing for you, that's the road that's prosperous. When you meditate on God's law and delight in God's law, and you're planted by the rivers of life, rivers of water, you're probably doing everything right. And that's why everything is prosperous. Not because anything a believer should do is going to be prosperous. No, you have to be walking God's way to be prosperous in everything. Not because we're good and prosperous, because God is going to make it prosperous. God is going to make it fruitful. It's like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. This rivers of water might be the Holy Spirit. Rivers of water might be God's only word. It's probably both. You're planted by God's word and you're walking by God's word, and that's why you're fruitful. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like a chaff which the wind driveth away. What a picture. But do we really see that in real life? Most of us are probably looking at sinners today, that they're prosperous, and that they're great, they don't need anything. They're doing great. They're not even going God's way. The Bible called them a chaff. It's just a leaf that is dead. It's blown up by anything. That's who they are. It doesn't matter how much stand they have in this world, it doesn't matter how much power they have in this world. They're like a chaff. They're dead. They could be blown away by anything. They have no foundation whatsoever. There's nothing making him stand. This person who is righteous doesn't say he's rich, doesn't say he has it all together. But because he's planted in the ground, nothing can move him. But these ungodly, says, they're like a chaff, which the wind driveth away. So they can be moving from place to place every day. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to give you today different ideas of things that I understand from this passage, and hopefully we can make an application together. And what I did so far is maybe bring you a little presentation on what Psalm 1 is talking about in general. Some ideas from this one might be in maybe very, very close to our Sunday school, in that they have the same idea, I believe. You should read your Bible, understand it, and act upon it. That's what meditation is. That's why when you meditate on something, because you want to understand it more and you want to do it better. Same thing when it comes to preaching. When you listen to preaching, when you listen to God's word, you should do something about it. And the verse that we read today, of James 1:22, says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." When you don't meditate on God's word, when you don't dig deep to understand what really God wants, you're kind of deceiving yourself in what you're doing. That as I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing great. You're giving yourself comfort in that. I read my Bible today, I'm doing great, you know, until tomorrow. Okay? What happened? What changed? How are you helped? If you're not helped, that's deceiving yourself. I come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Great. I come to church every day. Great. That's on the outside. How are you changed on the inside? How does that affect you on the inside? I believe the most dangerous thing in understanding life, that we need to understand in life, comes from Romans 14:12. It says, "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every time I think of this idea, I know we live by grace. I know I'm going to heaven by grace. but scares me to understand or to think about, am I really living the life that God wants me to live? Am I living the life that is fruitful and that is according to God's word? Because one day, I'll be judged of what I'm doing and the things that I'm not doing. Just like you are responsible to provide for yourself physically, same goes for your spiritual life. We like to throw the blame on others when it comes to our spiritual growth. We like to say that our church is not really teaching us these doctrines. Our church is not really encouraging us to do these things. Our church is not really using my talents, is not helping me to do these things. The church is not helping me to grow and get closer to God. And we teach that the church is a very important aspect in a believer's life. Don't understand me wrong. But the main growth does not come from the church. The main growth comes from you and your relationship with God alone. Your relationship with God at home, when no one is watching and no one is trying to pat on your back and tell you you're doing a good job, that's when you grow the most. One-on-one with God. And we want to feed ourselves physically. We want to be responsible for what we eat. We don't want people to be responsible to what we eat. We don't want people telling us what to eat, what not to eat. But when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to the church, no, we want people to feed us. We want people to tell us what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. I'm not saying the church should not do that. I'm just saying don't rely fully on the church doing everything for you. You are responsible to build your own spiritual life. If the church has zero effect on your life, when you die, you're going to be given an account of how much you did on your life. Because everyone is given account to his own self. We don't do a group account. We don't stand in groups and say, you know what, as a church, we did a great work. No, every single one is going to be standing before, as a Christian, before Christ. Hopefully you're a Christian today who is saved. But if you're not saved, you're standing before God, and that's a different story. I would not want to be there. But standing before Christ, we are going to be judged to how we lived our life personally. When it comes to the basic, most basic verse I believe in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what took for God to save you? You asking him to save you. It took only you and him. A church can't save you. A group of people can't save you. A prayer can't save you. 100 saints praying for you can't save you. Angels praying for you can't save you. You have to do something personal between you and God for you to be saved. As if that's the step for you to grow, to get in a Christian life, why do you think it's not the step to say to grow in a spiritual life as well? To get in it is the same way you stay in it. You got in it by you personally talking to God. You stay in it, you grow in it by you personally talking to God. Very important idea. Do not blame others for the way you are or for the things you do. If it is wrong, you need to change it. And you will be responsible for all your actions. Examples. People who bother you in the street. You be driving, someone jumps into your car, a word comes out of your mouth, or anger comes out of you. Because he did this, I did that. Blaming others for things you are struggling with. your parents and their genetics. Oh, you know, my anger problem is because my dad is like that and my grandpa is like that, so I'm just like that. Believe me, it's funny, but it happens. People say that. That was in my family. I mean, we joke around sometimes, and I say that to I'll be talking to my brother or my mom or my friend, whoever, and I'll just say, you know, I'll be laughing and I'll say, yeah, we all are angry, you know. But I had to notice that I have to work on myself extra because that is coming from someone else. I have to work on myself extra for me to change, because someday I will stand in front of God and I will give an account to my anger. He's not going to tell me, you know what, you have a slack because your parents were like that, so you have a slack to be like that. No. No, we're sinners by nature. So we already have enough sin in our life to work on. And this sin in our life, we have to change it. We have to work on it. We have to get better in it. The people at work, they might do something a certain way that you know it's wrong. Then you start following the same thing. Because everybody in work is doing it. I'll just do it. Galatians 6:5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Genesis 4, 6, and 7. You guys remember the story in Genesis 4? Cain and Abel. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." He's talking about the sin itself. We're talking about a devil who's going to bring him this sin through him. The idea is that he had the rule over his life, the rule over what he's going to do. He had a choice to make. And it's the same thing goes for us. We have a choice what we choose, what we don't choose. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul is saying, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." There's a change, constant change. The main idea I wanted to bring to you is today about this passage in Psalms. Is the main idea here is not a group of people. Is there is a man and there's a blessed. What I mean by that is the focus is this man worked on his own to be blessed. He couldn't just tell God that he can't blame people for what he did and he didn't do. He couldn't blame the genetics, his parents were bringing him these things and putting it in him. He had to work on himself. He had to delight in God's law. He had to change. He had to be planted. Then he was blessed. It's his own work in Psalm 1. Your own work will bring you God's blessings. So this is actually a dangerous idea that every nation almost is going to. You see it in singers. You see it in preachers. They tell you this. This is the opposite of what they're doing. It says, "Not because everyone else is doing it, then it is okay for us to do it." I was just reading kind of biography on one of the singers. The way she dressed, the way she did. She was a Christian singer, so it wasn't like bad, very bad. It was bad enough not to bring glory to God. The things she didn't mention about Christ, the things she did mention, the answers she gave, the answers she didn't give. Same thing goes for many, many other Christian men and women, singers and preachers and everything. These people are just surrendering to ideas and doing things because everybody else is doing it. If you're really studying the Bible and meditating on it, the way to delight in it is not by doing what everybody else is doing. The way to delight in God's law is by fulfilling and completing God's law. For you to enjoy your freedom in this country, you can't just see everybody crossing the stop sign and you doing it. And when the police stops you, you tell them, you know, everybody else is doing it. That is not going to let it go. The law is the law. Everybody's doing it or not. You're still responsible for what you do. And for you, you will lose your joy when you cross a law and you get judged for it. You're not going to get joy in it. You will lose the joy of the Lord. You will lose the delight in God's law because you're not fulfilling God's law. In Proverbs 11:21, this is that goes with the ideas. If everybody's doing it, it's okay for me to do it. Proverbs 11:21 says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." Though hand join in hand, though people work with peoples, though nations work with nations against God's law, it will not go unpunished. And one of the great examples is Noah. God told Noah, "You need to build an ark." But if you see the picture from outside, it's Noah and his family against everybody else. Who's right? Well, we know the Bible, Noah is right. But it was too late for these people to know who was right after they died. Not because they worked in groups, not because they were all agreeing on the same things that made it right. As a Christian, you need to be careful of things you do, things you don't do. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you present yourself. The Bible calls us peculiar people. Chosen people. Different people. God's people. But are we living like it? We say things because everybody else does. We dress the way we dress because everybody else does that. You don't need scientists to study the Bible to let you know that the way you're dressing is wrong and the way you're talking is wrong. Sometimes it's very clear that what you're doing is, if it's lining up with the world and no one else is really talking about it, it's probably wrong. If you're not getting persecuted for what you're doing, if you're not persecuted as in physical persecution, but if people are not looking at you in a weird way because you're doing it, you're probably doing it wrong. Because if we're really following Christ, and Christ said, because we're not in this world, and this world is not going to like us, this world is not going to love us, this world is not going to understand us, because we are not from this world. We need to start acting like we're not from this world. I believe one of the greatest ideas from Psalm 1 is that every person going to give an account on his own, every person for his own. Don't blame others for what you do, you don't do. You can work on yourself. You can be delighting God's law. You can be the tree who was planted by the rivers of water. You can be the one who is prosperous in everything you do. But are you? And if you're not prosperous in everything you do, if you don't think yourself, you're really planted by the rivers of water, you have to review what's wrong really in our life. Are we growing to be more like Christ day by day? It's interesting that we use the word Christian, and a lot of people will tell me, well, which is true, but when I say Christians about people in Syria or anywhere that are not saved, what's the difference between them and us? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Because we're saved? Let me bring to you this idea. You might not like it, but we're not called Christians because we're saved. We're called Christians because we're Christ-like. There's a difference. They were called Christians first at Antioch, not because they were saved, because they were acting like Christ. They were doing what Christ taught. Christ did these things, they did it. Christ taught these things, they taught it. They did it. They learned it. That's what Christians are. Christians are not saved people. They're Christ-like people. You have to be saved to be Christ-like. We understand that. But not just because you're saved, you're a Christian automatically. No, no, no. You have to act like Christ to be Christian. Christian means little Christ or like Christ. Are you becoming more like Christ day after day? Christ was prosperous in everything he did. We should be too. But there is a way to do it. And I believe just the first three verses in Psalm 1 will show us the best way to be prosperous in everything we do. God created the whole world, and he made a system in this world. The way for us to prosper in this world, we have to walk according to the system that God created. Don't try to make your own system, your own way in life, your own things. Oh, I think this is right. I think this is right. We don't really back it up from the Bible. We try to, you know, this sounds right. This looks right. Okay? Verse? Sometimes we don't have a verse. Sometimes it's a principle, which is okay. But do you have something to back it up from the Bible? When God made a world, the system in this world, he gave us a Bible to walk by this system. The way for us to prosper is to live according to this system. The way for you not to get a ticket is to work according to this American system. Same way. Same way. The way for you not to be punished by God is not to break God's law. The way for you to grow in God and his word is by reading his word, meditating on it, and delighting in it. The way for you to plant by the rivers of water is by reading God's word, delighting in it, meditating in it. Meditation comes before delight. You know, I don't think I like this. You know, I don't think I'm doing this right. I don't think I'm really enjoying living this kind of life. Maybe you're not meditating right in what God really wants you to do and how what really God meant by you doing this and not doing that. Some people right now are teaching of, today we're talking about, just outside Sufism, it is the teaching of the wisdom, which means the truth. The teaching of Sufism is just the way that God is truth, and truth is everywhere. So wherever you can find truth, you can find God. So that means wherever your religion is, find the truth in it and follow the truth, and you will make it to heaven. That just means that these people never meditated in the Bible, because that's not true. When you meditate in the Bible, you understand the way to salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, not just by doing something good. Meditating God's word will help us to do what God wants us to do. And when we do that, we will have peace, we will delight in what we do, and we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, growing, bringing fruit, prosperous in everything we do. Let us pray.